It's Your Money, the financial show that pulls back the curtain on the industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. Welcome. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. And for those of you that are regulars or first-time, let me go ahead and do a quick commercial. Because you're probably listening to this on iTunes, if you could give us a rating and a review, we would really appreciate that. And I might as well keep going with commercials. For those of you who'd like more information, you can always check out the Financial Abundance website. You just go to Google and type in Financial Abundance. We should come up in the top page there, somewhere in the top three or four. And you go to our website, we have a plethora of information. iTunes only carries, I think, 6 or 8 months of shows. We have about 4 years almost of shows on our website. You can also go to WJACTV. That's William, Jack in the Box, Alpha, Charlie, TV.com. We're the Central Pennsylvania NBC Investor Coach. You can actually see us, those videos that you see. Bonus videos on that website are actually from the news broadcast every week. So, with commercials behind us, I have Deb Seward in the studio.
Good morning.
Hey, Deb, how you doing?
Good.
We wanted to focus on another podcast. For those of you that haven't quite figured it out yet, we are not doing our widely regarded syndicated radio show. I actually gave that up, Deb.
I know.
I had to give it up. I didn't have to give it up, but I felt my family and time with my family was more important. So we have now, instead of doing the radio show, we are doing a shorter version, a lot more flexible, and that is a podcast. And this week's podcast, we want to focus very, very specifically on a paradigm shift, a totally different way of looking at college funding. Deb's dealing with this right now. My kids are a little bit younger, but she's dealing with this right now. You already wrote some checks, right, Deb?
Yeah, I have 2 children in college right now.
Now, what we want to do is talk about the traditional way that college planning is done and perhaps offer up a totally different way of looking at it. So when we think of traditional financial planning, Deb, what is the industry mantra?
The 529 plan is exactly what most parents and grandparents come and talk to or want to talk to us about or trying to do, whether they do Googles or give us a call. And we've found out that that may not be the best avenue.
So that's what we want to talk about today. Is the 529 the best avenue for college planning, and I would submit to you, based on my experience, and Deb, if we could get these people to understand what you and I understand, they may do things a little differently than they're doing them right now.
Absolutely. And they're tuning in for a reason.
That's correct. And so I wanted to perhaps maybe offer up my personal college plan and use this as an opportunity to be a springboard to segue into a different way of thinking as it relates to college funding. Now, first, let's pick apart the 529 just a little bit, which, by the way, is a great plan. We're not here to knock the 529. We just, if we can do something better, we want to do that. But why is the 529 so promoted and touted as the primary source and solution to college funding, Deb? Is it because of the tax?
Yeah, I think you can add money to it, which is after-tax money, so it's really no break on the parent or the grandparent, but the ability to withdraw those monies that has earned the interest and the principal amount without taxes, providing that beneficiary go to college. The problem you have is, what if they don't go to college?
This is really the kind of the fly in the ointment.
Right.
In that if your child decides not to go to college, what if they decide they want to, you know, start a business maybe, or maybe go into the military for whatever reason, or whatever they may want to do.
And if you don't use it for college, they actually penalize you as if it's an IRA, a 10% excise tax. And did you know that they have to withdraw that by age 30?
Now, you can assign it to another family member.
You can, but it has to be a lineal descent family member.
And you know, so I guess, you know, again, it goes back to the IRA. We just did the podcast on IRA. Oftentimes, there's these invisible strings that you don't know what the strings are. So understanding the 529 is great as it relates to the tax-free growth and and all that kind of stuff. But there's penalties if you don't specifically use it for education. But here's the bigger dilemma that I have, Deb. What happens if my wife and I, for example, are putting money in a 529 plan, and God forbid something happens to my wife? Well, that doesn't really help our college funding situation.
No.
So what I started realizing, and it all goes back to the E.F. Hutton story. Have you heard the E.F. Hutton story?
Yeah. E.F. Hutton talks, you listen.
Let me set this up for some of our younger listeners. E.F. Hutton was a large accounting firm out on the West Coast and later became famous commercials. I guess, what were those, in the early 80s?
I would say, 70s. Yes.
And the commercial was when E.F. Hutton talks and the whole room would go quiet.
Yeah, silence.
Because everybody wants to listen to what he has to say. Now, the reason for that is Mr. Hutton was an accountant, the way I understand the story. And he was using the tax codes as an accounting firm, and he ran across some of the tax codes as it relates to insurance. And what he realized was that insurance have a very unique caveat in the tax code in that if it's properly structured and funded, it becomes tax-free.
Right.
And so what happened was Mr. Hutton started putting all their clients, encouraged him to put all this money into what we now know as universal life insurance, and the IRS caught wind of it.
They didn't like that very well.
No, they didn't like it. So they went to Mr. Hutton, and they said cease and desist. And this is all paraphrased, basically.
They silenced them.
Yeah. And E.F. Hutton said, well, we're not going to do it. And the IRS said, well, what do you mean you're not going to do it? And he said, well, look, code 162, 7702, these are different tax codes. And so the IRS said, well, apparently there's this caveat. E.F. Hutton cease and desist. E.F. Hutton refused to. So the IRS did the most logical thing, and that is they took E.F. Hutton to court. Well, after a long battle, who won? E.F. Hutton won.
I was going to say, there's nothing they could ground them on.
And as a result, what happened was, basically, the IRS went to Congress and said, we need to legislate the funding of these insurance contracts because apparently they're legal and, in fact, can be, if properly structured and properly maintained, can pull money out of them tax-free. And from that came legislation. And I'm not going to get into all the legislation called TEFRA, DEFRA, and TAMRA, that the government actually has very specific rules and limits. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't hear me wrong. Limits the amount of money that you can put into a properly structured insurance contract. Why do they limit that, Deb?
Well, they want to be in control and they want their tax dollars.
They can only let you put so much money in these. So, with this general idea in mind, have you ever wondered how a rich politician can stand up and say tax the rich when they are? Maybe their accounts that they've set up are not all taxable. Because one of the interesting things, if you properly fund and structure a life insurance contract, when you pull the money out, not only is it tax-free, Deb, but it's not deemed earned passive or portfolio income, and as a result, it's not reported anywhere.
Nope, no 1099s.
So I'm trying to set your mind up to get to college funding. That's the end, but I needed to set your mind right. So when we look at this type of planning, I want to make sure you understand, we're not talking about the way you traditionally understand insurance, right, Deb?
That's correct.
Explain to them how it's different. That is, the way we fund this insurance is differently funded than the way they understand insurance, because most people walk in the office and they say, Paul, I want the highest death benefit for the lowest premium.
That's right.
Well, what are they thinking of the use of that?
They're thinking term insurance, just debt coverage, and
it
no cash
value.
It could
be regular, though, too. It could be regular insurance.
It could be.
What I'm saying to you is most insurance that I've looked at is not funded for max death benefit, and it's not funded for max cash. It's normally funded a hybrid in the middle. I've never understood that.
Yeah, you're right.
In other words, there's two ways to use life insurance. One way is smallest amount of premium for the maximum death benefit. It's all a death benefit play. I don't even know why they call it life insurance. They should call it
death insurance.
But then there's another way to use insurance in a more sophisticated manner, and that's what I'm trying to get to today, although it's kind of complex to explain that, and that is what we do is just the opposite. We go into a insurance contract and say, what is the smallest death benefit I can possibly get for the largest amount of funding? So do you see the difference there, Deb?
Yes, I do.
Maybe you might want to hit it in a different way. What we're trying to do is get people to realize there's more than two ways to structure life insurances for different purposes. So with that in mind, if you go out and properly structure a life insurance contract, for example, my wife, we went out and said we want to put X amount of dollars every month into a contract, but we want to squeeze the death benefit down to the lowest amount. Why did we squeeze the death benefit down to the lowest amount, Deb?
Well, you want your money to go to work for you and grow in a cash value side of that so that you can use the cash. Versus you're not doing it to get the death benefit. You're doing it to get the tax-free cash out.
So we want cash to accumulate as quick as we can. As a result, we want the lowest death benefit so the actual insurance charges do not drain any of the cash. So we went in with my wife and said, here's X amount of dollars, and it was a very substantial death benefit that we squeezed it down to. It was like $450,000, and we put so much in a month. Now, why do we do this? Well, we do this for our college funding. If I was to ask you in your lifetime, what have you spent more on, interest or taxes, what would you say?
Probably interest.
Depends on the person, right?
Yeah, depends on the earnings.
Some people say interest, some people say taxes. I mean, it really does. It depends on what their earnings are, how well they've done their write-offs and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, if there was a way to recoup both, how interested would you be?
Very.
Okay, now, let's take it a step further. What we've done is we've set up a plan on my wife so that we put this money in. Now, we just bought a vehicle recently. We went and pulled cash out of that policy, paid for the vehicle. Now we're paying the policy back, the money we borrowed from it, and an interest rate. So we're actually paying ourselves the interest rate we would have given to
the bank,
financial institution. The same is true for school. Mm-hmm. When my daughter, I have three children now, my oldest daughter, she seems to be more entrepreneurial. She may or may not go to college. I'm not sure. But let's assume she does. She'll go into that policy, and she'll pull out cash. She'll go to school for 4 years. And then after 4 years, she's going to start paying that money back. And it behooves her to pay it back because that's our family bank, Deb.
Right.
The family savings and loan, we've basically used properly structured, max-funded insurance contracts. Now, let me give you this is a very, very, very important disclaimer and word of caution. Don't just think anybody in the insurance industry understands what we're talking about, Deb.
That's right. These are advanced strategies.
A very small percentage of people in the insurance industry even understand this. So please don't just take this recording and go have someone try to structure something for you without understanding all the intricacies and the tax codes and the laws and all the training, years of it, that we've been through for this type of stuff. So that's my disclaimer. Because if you do, you're probably going to get yourself in a kettle of fish there. Okay, make sure you go to somebody who's very qualified in this arena. With that being said, what we're trying to do is structure a life insurance policy where it's building up cash. That cash becomes our family bank. We use that for major purchases, for vehicles, for an RV if you wanted, for college funding. But more importantly, it's going to be for other things, Deb. It could be for weddings. It could be first-time home buyers. What if my son does not decide to become go to college and wants to be an entrepreneur? Well, I want to be able to give him the same amount of money that he would have gone to college to help him start his business.
That's right.
So the idea of what we're talking about, and it may not be applicable to all of you out there, but what we're trying to do in essence in this short podcast is giving you a paradigm shift to say, why would I fund a 529 plan when I can do the same thing in a properly structured life insurance contract without the strings and the tax advantages I still get, and if my wife dies, God forbid, all of my kids are going to college.
That's right.
Am I missing something here?
Nope, you've hit it right.
If I oversimplified this...
You probably have. But it is an advanced concept, as we've talked about. So we need to talk to people individually about their situation.
Yeah, please do not use this podcast as financial advice. It's simply talking about a paradigm shift from the 529 college plan. Let's go ahead and go through a few examples, but let me reiterate it again. What we're doing is we're utilizing the chassis of properly structured, max-funded life insurance, which is squeezing the death benefit down and throwing more money in. The money grows and accumulates tax-free. It's accessible tax-free without the strings we would normally find in 529 plans. It can be used for education and other things. And God forbid, if the parent dies, all the kids are colleges squared away.
Yep.
So it really, it's multifunctional.
And these, don't confuse these with some old contracts that are out there. The old Universal Lives had no guarantees, and they were all investment performance related. And
we're not going to get into what type of insurance. We want to stay away from variable and all that. Please, again, this, I got a disclaimer again. We simply want you to get the concept. The planning piece has to be some thorough planning done with some qualified individuals. So let's look at a couple scenarios, Deb, okay?
All right.
Oftentimes we'll get young couples that'll call in here and say, hey, I want to prepare for college for my kids. What's the best thing to do?
A lot of them are around 30 to 35 years old, and they usually call us when they get a newborn or right before that child's born.
So here's an actual case of a 25-year-old male, and he was preferred, and we went out, and he had about $170 a month surplus cash.
Yeah, he thought he could put that away.
So we went out and squeezed down and designed a plan where we're putting $170 a month in, or about $2,000 a year, 25-year-old. So, about less than half of what he had put in an IRA, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So he's putting this away, and this could be used for retirement as well. This is not just about college. So let's say he puts that in every year. Well, after 10 years, let's see what I'm looking for. I'm looking for account value. After 10 years, he's put in about $24,000. That's about what he's got in there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tax-free again. Let's just jump around here. After 45 years, he's put in 40. He's got 75 in there tax-free. So this is just an example of a kid who's basically planning on putting away $80,000, $81,000.
That's his total contribution
total
over
contribution,
what, 65 years?
Over 40 years.
Okay, I was looking at age. Yeah, you're right, 40 years,
base,
right?
Or a year. And at 65, he's sitting on an account value of about $415,000 tax-free.
Boy, wouldn't that be a nice retirement account?
And along the way, he has plenty of money for vehicles and college
and whatever it is. Or a second home or a boat.
There's one example. Another quick example. Here's a 30-year-old. Same deal, except he could afford $300 a month. So he put $3,600 a year in. The smallest death benefit we could get him was about $150. And what's interesting about this plan is at 31, he puts $3,600 a year in. And at 40, 9 years later, he takes a $30,000 loan for a vehicle. It doesn't even show him paying that back, does it?
No, it doesn't.
He never
not.
Even pays it back.
No. Nope. And
then he continues to put the $3,600 a year in. And then at 50, 10 years later, he takes $100,000 out.
Well, that was probably for maybe a home.
And a 401k condo.
There you go.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. He kept putting the $3,600 in. And then at 65, so he's taken out $30,000 at 40. He's taken $100,000 out at 50 for various projects or whatever. And then at 66, he starts taking a $30,000 a year income into perpetuity.
Isn't that nice?
Now, this works great for a 30-year-old. Now, and these are also assumed 7.5% rates of return now. I don't want to get into a long conversation about that, but this is indexed universal life, and that is realistic. We're not talking about your grandparents' whole life policies here, okay? One other example, and again, I got to keep putting the disclaimer. You need to go with qualified people and get your illustrations, all that kind of stuff to learn about this stuff. But conceptually, I want to ask you the question, does it make more sense to put money in 529 plans or put them in a situation where the money has less strings and it's going to grow at a very respectable rate? In fact, when you look at putting them in a 529 plan after the fees involved compared to insurance, they're very respectable.
Yes.
So
that's a whole other conversation.
Let's tell them about this 50-year-old.
This 50-year-old male, we actually were putting $500 a month in, which is $6,000 a year. So he's 50, and at age 62, maybe he wants to retire. He's got $94,000 in there. He's not ready to take that withdrawal yet. It just keeps increasing.
So really what we're showing here is now this guy is 50 years old, so maybe he can afford $500 a month.
Sure.
So he's putting $6,000 a year into this, and he's trying to build it up, play catch up, if you will. And depending on when he needs money or access, for example, at 65, he's put a total of $90,000 in there, and his account value is $135,000 tax free, and his death benefits to almost $250,000.
Nice.
So what a lot of people don't realize, if you properly structure these contracts, the death benefit is your economic benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're dead or alive, you're going to get the death benefit out.
Right.
And
again,
for the sake of time, let me go into one more. And this is probably the most efficient way you can possibly fund it. Here's a 50-year-old who wanted to put in, what did he put in there, about
$100,000.
About $100,000, okay.
But he did it over 5 years.
He max funded it. He got it in as quick as the government rules and requirements through TEFRA, DEFRA, and TAMRA will allow us to do it legally and keep it tax-free. So this guy put it in 5 years as quick as he could. It's interesting, he put right in $100,000 at 50. And at 70, he's got a $270,000 account value, and he's pulling $20,000 a year out into perpetuity tax-free.
Nice retirement supplement.
And, you know, if he dies at 85, he would have pulled out $300,000, and he'll still have $300,000 to go to his heirs.
That's the nice thing. Yep, tax-free to the heirs at that point.
So I don't want to beat this to death. Conceptually, just and going through the cases, I hope that didn't hurt you but helped you. But conceptually, all we're simply saying is, as an offer up to an alternative to a 529 plan that's just designed solely and specifically for education, maybe we might want to look at a properly structured, max-funded cash value life insurance policy that would have multiple purposes. It would have a legacy component in the event the parent dies, to make sure the kids go to school. It has a number of different... The cash is your cash. You can spend it however you want.
That's
with
right.
No strings.
That's right.
You can take the money out. You can pay it back or not pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
If you paid it back, the account gets bigger. If you don't pay it back, obviously it doesn't get bigger. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, when it comes to this type of college planning, and this is the way leading college planning is done in this country, by the way.
I agree.
Okay. If when it comes to college planning, to me, 529 is not even on the radar. And I cannot think of a scenario where I would use a 529. Can you?
No, I cannot. It's not... None of the 529 plans rules would negate what we could do with this insurance and the cash value that you could withdraw, the tax-free component, and not being limited with the strings from the government.
And having an economic benefit that's going to be substantial, because if you died right away, look, God forbid, knocking on wood, if my wife was to pass away right now at 40 years old, it would be quite a traumatic effect for obvious reasons, but even more so as the primary breadwinner. What do I do with three little kids?
That's right. You need...
Not only do I need help with them till they're old enough, but I also need to make sure that they have plenty of money for funding. So it goes back to, and I'm going to close with this, the value of a life.
That's right.
We often forget, Will Rogers talked about it, a man that does not properly insure himself should come back and see the mess that he's left. Benjamin Franklin talks about it. Winston Churchill talked about it. All these men talked about the value of life and how insurance should really be a requirement. Okay?
It should. I've seen the devastating effects of someone that's not well insured.
And you know, a great example is just read some of the 9/11 Commission reports.
Yes.
And the amount of insurance proceeds that went to all those folks that were victims of that mm-hmm. tragic event. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people misunderstand this. Hopefully, this will be the beginning of a new revelation and a paradigm shift, an epiphany, if you will, an aha moment that may have a dramatic effect. It could mean the difference of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars in your overall estate down the road, right, Deb?
That's absolutely right.
How you go about college funding. So with that being said, you've listened to It's Your Money with Paul Nichols, your host and co-host, Deb Seward. This is brought to you by Financial Abundance. Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm registered in the state of Pennsylvania. Our main office is in State College. We have other offices in other parts of PA, mainly Lewisburg. We have courses that we offer for Penn State and other organizations around the country. If you'd like to learn more about financial education, more about this type of stuff, you can go to our website and ask the coach. A question, Financial Abundance, just type it in Google. You can go to WJAC-TV. That's the NBC affiliate in Central PA where the investor coach does bonus coaching on there. Or you can just call our office, 866-867-5745, 866-867-5745. And by the way, if you'd like to work with us, it doesn't matter where in the country you are, we can work with you virtually.
There you go.
We do have clients all over the country. Once again, it's your money. The show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the financial services industry. Remember, education leads to clarity, and clarity can lead to confidence. Hope this finds you well. See you next week, Deb.
See ya.
Have a great day.